Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Today, we're going deep into a fascinating piece of American history. We're exploring W.E.B. Du Bois's The Gift of Black Folk.
Oh, an excellent choice.
And we're really going to focus in on his chapters about Black labor and Reconstruction.
Right, because those chapters really challenge a lot of traditional narratives about how America was built.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things Du Bois emphasizes is that America, it isn't just like a simple continuation of, you know, English culture.
Yeah, he pushes back against that idea hard.
He calls it a conglomerate of all these different people and cultures.
Right. He points to like French influence in the Mississippi Valley, Spanish influence in the Southwest, and so many other examples.
Yeah. And that really makes you think about what makes America unique. You know, it's not just about carrying on, you know, traditions from England.
It's about this dynamic interplay of cultures and influences.
Exactly. And all of that leads to what we're going to be focusing on today, which is this often overlooked aspect of American history, and that's Black labor.
Mm-hmm.
Du Bois really argues that it wasn't just important, it was essential.
Absolutely. It was absolutely essential to building the nation.
And he goes beyond just saying that. He gives all these specifics, how Black labor built major industries.
Right. Think about the crops that fueled global commerce, like tobacco, sugar, rice, cotton. I mean, those were the backbone of the Industrial Revolution.
And they were all built on the backs of Black labor.
Right, absolutely.
And it's also really striking how he highlights the skilled labor involved, too. It's not just, you know, working in the fields.
Right.
He talks about steamboat operators, barrel makers, inventors.
It really challenges that stereotypical image, you know, of Black labor being solely agricultural.
Exactly.
And those inventors, they weren't just, you know, tinkering around. They were making groundbreaking contributions.
Right. Like Norbert Reuleaux.
Yeah. He invented the vacuum pan for sugar refining.
Wow.
It revolutionized the industry. And he achieved this despite facing intense discrimination. It's remarkable.
And then you have Elijah McCoy. He's the Black inventor who created the automatic lubricator.
Oh, that's right.
An invention that, like, transformed machinery.
And that's actually where the phrase, the real McCoy, comes from.
That's so interesting.
I know, right? It's fascinating how much we owe to these innovators and how their stories have been, you know, kind of obscured.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of obscured stories, Du Bois also tackles head-on the stereotype of Black laziness.
Mm-hmm.
And he argued that it is a misinterpretation.
Yeah, he really pushes back against that. He explains that this perceived laziness, it stemmed from centuries of cultural differences and resistance to forced labor.
Right. It makes you think about how our own biases can really shape our perceptions.
Absolutely. We judge behavior based on our own limited understanding without considering the historical and cultural context.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something we can still fall into today.
It's a trap we all have to be aware of.
Okay, so shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about Black contributions to American wars. From the colonial era onward, Black soldiers fought in every major conflict.
Yeah, and what Du Bois points out is that their motivations were complex.
Right, they weren't just fighting for their country, they were also fighting for their own freedom and respect within that country.
Exactly, it was a fight on two fronts, you know, and you see this really clearly with someone like Crispus Attucks.
Oh, right.
He was a runaway slave who became like a symbol of the American Revolution. He even led the charge in the Boston Massacre.
Wow. Imagine the courage it took to fight for a nation that still denied you basic human rights.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. And that duality continued through the Civil War with Black soldiers fighting on both sides.
Yeah, Du Bois even mentions the Confederacy trying to arm slaves in their final hours.
It's a chilling reminder of just how complex and morally ambiguous things were.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's delve into a period that Du Bois considers as crucial as American independence and the abolition of slavery. Reconstruction.
Reconstruction is often overlooked, but it was a pivotal moment.
He sees it as this bold attempt to rebuild the South and integrate formerly enslaved people into society, a truly monumental task.
One of the key players in this was the Freedmen's Bureau.
Right.
They were tasked with providing aid to former slaves, helping them transition to this new reality.
But then you also had this immense pushback.
Oh, yeah, the Black Codes.
Right. These laws were specifically designed to restrict the freedoms of Black people, even after emancipation.
It shows how deep-seated the resistance to change was.
It was a time of great hope, but also immense struggle. Imagine the challenges those newly freed individuals faced.
Trying to navigate a world that was still largely hostile to their presence. And yet, despite those obstacles, Black political participation flourished during Reconstruction.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Black legislators, they made incredible strides. like establishing public school systems,
expanding voting rights,
reforming legal codes.
It's a period of remarkable progress considering the circumstances.
And yet you still hear these narratives about corruption within Black-led governments.
That's right.
And Dubois pushes back hard against that.
He argues that while there were instances of wrongdoing, it wasn't inherently tied to Black suffrage.
Yeah, he really emphasizes that corruption was a widespread issue at the time. It was a product of the chaotic aftermath of war and just inexperienced leadership in general.
He even shares this story about a fraudulent bond scheme in South Carolina. Black legislators were actually instrumental in exposing and addressing that corruption.
It's a reminder to be wary of, you know, simple explanations. History is complex. Understanding it requires nuance and critical thinking. Okay, so let's turn our attention to the contributions of Black women.
Often overlooked, but absolutely essential.
Their roles in society were constantly evolving, you know, from skilled laborers to mothers, conspirators, and community leaders.
They were truly multifaceted.
One figure that Dubois highlights is Sojourner Truth.
A truly remarkable woman.
She was a formerly enslaved woman who became this powerful voice for both women's rights and racial equality. Can you imagine the impact of her presence at a women's rights convention?
She was a force to be reckoned with.
She stood up and challenged the very notion of women's weakness. "Nobody ever helped me into carriages or over mud puddles," she said. "And ain't I a woman?"
Such a powerful statement.
And then there's Mammy Pleasance. She was a shrewd businesswoman who navigated California's early economy, all while carrying the weight of her past as an enslaved person.
She was full of contradictions, this successful entrepreneur, but harboring a deep resentment toward the system that had once enslaved her. It reminds us that people's lives are complex. Their motivations are multifaceted.
It's like peeling back the layers of history to reveal the hidden stories and the untold complexities behind these figures. It's really fascinating.
Speaking of hidden stories, we need to talk about how Dubois views immigration.
Yeah, that's a big part of his analysis.
He argues that America has always been this destination for people from all over the world, and that this influx of new cultures and ideas is actually what makes America unique.
He sees it as this dynamic mix of different ingredients, always interacting, always evolving.
Exactly. It's not about erasing differences. It's about recognizing and appreciating the contributions of all these different groups. And he gets very specific about the history of immigration, going all the way back to the colonial era.
Right. He talks about the influx of Irish and German immigrants alongside the English settlers. He even mentions Jewish merchants, French Huguenots, Swedish and Finnish colonists.
It's incredible to think about how diverse the American population was, even in those early days. And of course, immigration continued throughout the 19th century, shaping the nation in countless ways.
It's clear he's emphasizing how this continuous mixing of cultures has shaped the very fabric of American society.
He really challenges the idea that America is simply a continuation of English culture.
He sees it as something new and dynamic, forged from the contributions of people from all over the world.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? What's the bigger picture here?
Well, I think Dubois is arguing that America's strength lies in its diversity, not in trying to force everyone into a single mold. He's celebrating the contributions of all those ordinary people who helped build the nation. The Black laborers, the immigrants, the women, all those whose stories have often been marginalized or forgotten. It's a powerful message and one that feels incredibly relevant today.
Speaking of relevance, Dubois also dives into some pretty controversial topics, like the history of immigration restrictions.
Yeah, he doesn't shy away from those difficult conversations.
He talks about the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 and all those laws that were passed in the late 19th and early 20th centuries to limit immigration from certain countries.
It's a reminder that America's history with immigration is complicated. There have been periods of openness and welcome, but also periods of fear and exclusion.
Dubois doesn't try to sugarcoat any of that. He even criticizes the literacy tests that were used to exclude immigrants, calling them haphazard, unscientific, and based on unworthy prejudice.
It's a critique that still resonates today, you know, as we continue to debate immigration policy and who's deserving of entry into the country.
And it's clear that Dubois is passionate about this topic. He sees the history of immigration as intertwined with the struggle for democracy and equality in America.
He seems to be suggesting that by embracing diversity and recognizing the contributions of all Americans, we can create a more just and equitable society. It's a powerful vision for the future.
So moving on from immigration, Dubois spends a significant portion of The Gift of Black Folk discussing the Black experience during the Civil War and Reconstruction. And he really highlights how crucial Black soldiers were to the Union victory.
Absolutely. Their contributions went far beyond just filling the ranks.
He talks about their double motive for fighting, you know, not only to preserve the Union, but to fight for their own freedom.
It's a powerful concept. And he brings up the incredible story of the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, one of the first official Black units in the U.S. Army.
They faced so much prejudice and discrimination, but their bravery at Fort Wagner and their contributions throughout the war helped to shift public opinion and pave the way for greater equality.
It's an inspiring story of courage and resilience.
And then, after the war, Black Americans faced a whole new set of challenges during Reconstruction.
Oh, absolutely.
Duhois paints this vivid picture of this era. He describes the Freedmen's Bureau's efforts to assist formerly enslaved people, the rise of Black political participation, and the backlash from white Southerners.
It was a time of immense change and upheaval. And he doesn't shy away from the difficult realities, like the Black Codes.
Right. Those restrictive laws designed to limit Black freedom.
Despite these obstacles, though, Black communities showed incredible resilience.
They really did.
Black legislators played a key role in shaping the Reconstruction governments. They helped establish public schools, expand voting rights, reform legal codes.
It's a story of both progress and setbacks, you know, moments of great hope and achievement, but also intense resistance and violence. Duhois challenges this common narrative that Reconstruction was a failure solely because of Black involvement.
Yeah, he pushes back against that idea hard.
He argues that while there were instances of corruption, it was no more widespread than in any other government at the time, and often exaggerated to discredit Black leadership.
He points to the fact that many of the social and economic advancements made during Reconstruction, like public education and expanded suffrage, had a lasting impact on the South and the nation as a whole.
Exactly. And he even highlights specific examples of Black leaders who served with distinction and integrity.
People like Jonathan Gibbs, the first state superintendent of instructions in Florida.
And Robert Brown Elliott, a brilliant orator and congressman from South Carolina.
It's clear that Duhois sees Reconstruction as a pivotal moment in American history, a time when the nation had a chance to truly live up to its ideals of equality and justice.
And while ultimately it fell short of its goals, due in no small part to the rise of white supremacist violence, Duhois argues that the legacy of Black political activism and the fight for racial justice continued to inspire social change movements even today.
It's an important reminder that the struggle for equality is a long and ongoing process.
And understanding history is crucial to navigating the challenges of the present.
It's a powerful testament to the enduring spirit of those who fought for a more just and equitable America.
And it's a reminder that we all have a role to play in carrying on that legacy.
So I guess the biggest takeaway from all of this is Duhois is arguing that the Negro is the central thread of American history. Understanding this perspective fundamentally changes how we view America's past and present.
It forces us to confront uncomfortable truths about race, labor, and democracy. It's like we've been looking at this tapestry, but only focusing on certain threads.
And Duhois is urging us to see the whole picture, the interconnectedness of it all. He's saying that you can't truly understand American history without understanding the Black experience.
It's not a side story. It's woven into the very fabric of the nation.
And that's a perspective that's often missing from our textbooks and our national narratives. He's challenging us to rethink our assumptions, delve deeper, and acknowledge the contributions and struggles of those who have been marginalized and silenced.
It's an invitation to a more honest and inclusive understanding of what it means to be American.
It's a lot to think about, and this is really just a starting point. I encourage you to continue exploring this complex and fascinating history on your own. There's so much more to discover in Duhois' work and in the countless stories of those who helped shape America.
Absolutely. It's been an incredible journey. It really has been. And, you know, Duhois doesn't just challenge those historical narratives. He makes us really think about our own biases and assumptions, especially when it comes to understanding different cultures.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a reminder that active listening and really seeking out different perspectives, that's so essential for learning. And speaking of diverse perspectives, you know, Duhois really delves deep into the complexities of Reconstruction, a period that's often kind of overshadowed, you know, by the drama of the Civil War itself.
It's true. He paints such a vivid picture of this era, you know, highlighting those challenges and the triumphs faced by newly freed Black Americans.
Yeah. He talks about the Freedmen's Bureau, this ambitious effort to provide aid to former slaves, but also the rise of the Black Codes, these laws that were specifically designed to limit their freedom.
It was this constant push and pull, you know, this battle between progress and regression. You had Black communities showing incredible resilience, actively participating in rebuilding their lives and rebuilding society.
And politically, it was unprecedented. You had this huge Black participation in government.
Black legislators played key roles in shaping Reconstruction policies.
Advocating Republic education, expanding voting rights, reforming legal codes. I mean, it's inspiring to see how they used their newfound political power to create change.
Yeah, it really is. But then you have this narrative of Reconstruction as a failure. And it's often attributed to, you know, supposed incompetence or corruption within Black-led governments. And Du Bois, he just completely challenges that.
He argues that, yeah, while there were instances of corruption, they were no more widespread than in any other government at the time.
Right.
It was often exaggerated to discredit Black leadership.
And he even highlights specific examples, like the fraudulent bond scheme in South Carolina, where it was actually Black legislators who played a crucial role in exposing and addressing that corruption.
Exactly. It's like he's consistently dismantling those stereotypes, bringing to light these achievements that have been overshadowed or erased.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to see how he does that.
Du Bois reminds us that history is rarely black and white. Understanding those nuances is critical, especially when you're looking at these social and political issues.
I think he's saying that when we acknowledge the complexities of Reconstruction, we can see it not just as this period of struggle, but also as a testament to the resilience and determination of Black Americans in their fight for equality.
Exactly. And that fight didn't end with Reconstruction. It's ongoing. Du Bois emphasizes that the struggle for racial justice is a process. It's like a relay race. Each generation passes the baton to the next.
That's a powerful analogy. I think what he's saying is that we all have a responsibility to learn from the past. You know, acknowledge the struggles and the triumphs of those who came before us, and use that knowledge to continue pushing for a more just and equitable future.
We have to carry on that legacy, work towards creating a society that truly embodies equality and justice for all.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive into Du Bois' The Gift of Black Folk, what are like some key takeaways for listeners?
I think one of the most important ones is that understanding history is crucial to navigating the challenges of the present. Du Bois makes us confront those uncomfortable truths about race, labor, and democracy. He encourages us to think critically about the narratives that we've been taught.
He's pushing us to go beyond those simplified, often biased versions of history, and to actively seek out those different perspectives and those untold stories.
He's reminding us that the Black experience isn't separate from American history. It's an integral part of it, woven into every aspect of the nation's development.
And by understanding that interconnectedness, I think we can gain a much more complete understanding of what it means to be American.
And ultimately, I think that deeper understanding can empower us to build a more just and equitable society for everyone.
It's been an incredible journey exploring his insights. We hope you found it as enlightening as we have.
I certainly have. And I hope it inspires everyone to keep learning and to keep pushing for that positive change.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that really struck me throughout all of this is how he emphasizes this idea of double consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this feeling of always looking at yourself through the eyes of others.
It's such a powerful concept, right? He talks about this sense of two-ness that many Black Americans experience, of being both Black and American, but never fully belonging to either identity.
It's like navigating these two worlds simultaneously. You're constantly aware of how society views you, the expectations and the prejudices.
And Du Bois, he argues that this double consciousness, it isn't just a personal experience. It's a product of those historical and social structures that perpetuate inequality.
It's this burden that's been placed on Black Americans, forcing them to constantly code switch, to adapt, to prove their worth in a system that often devalues their experiences.
It's a reminder that achieving true equality requires more than just legal changes.
Right.
It's a fundamental shift in societal attitudes and perceptions.
It's about dismantling those deep-seated prejudices that fuel this sense of otherness.
Exactly. Creating barriers to full participation, to belonging.
Du Bois challenges us to recognize that shared humanity, the experiences that connect us all, regardless of race or background.
He really does.
He's advocating for a society where everyone can embrace their full identity, without feeling like they have to diminish or hide parts of themselves.
It's a vision of a truly inclusive America, where everyone has the opportunity to thrive and contribute their unique talents and perspectives.
And to get to that vision, we have to confront those legacies of the past, acknowledge that these systemic inequalities still exist.
Yeah, and actively work to dismantle them.
It's about understanding that this fight for equality is a process.
It's a relay race. Each generation has to pick up the baton and continue pushing forward.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Du Bois' The Gift of Black Folk, I think the most important takeaway is this.
We all have a role to play.
Absolutely. We have a role to play in shaping a more just and equitable future.
It's about educating ourselves, challenging our own biases, and using our voices and our actions to advocate for change.
Listening to and amplifying those voices that have been marginalized.
Working together to create a society that truly values diversity and inclusion. And remembering that progress is possible, but it takes effort. It takes a willingness to challenge the status quo.
It does.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through Dubois' work. We hope it's inspired you to continue exploring these themes and to engage in that ongoing conversation about race, equality, and justice in America.